thinking, if they have church service in here on Sunday
tomorrow,
it would be interesting when people walk in tomorrow. The smell of curry doesn't leave. And so they walk in tomorrow, they'll smell curry and they'll think, what's happening here? So it may be the last time that they want you guys to use this place on Saturday night. But we just, Josh and I don't know if many of you remember Josh, and he was part of a church for a while back. That had me over 2 years ago. He just finished with the Korean military, and the Korean military finished with him. And he came to our house the day, Sunday, and I left on Monday. Then he met me on Wednesday in London. So, and it's really fun for me to have him traveling with me. It's so nice to have somebody to blame for any mistakes. And to know that if I get my suitcase ready to just stand there, somebody's going to come and pick it up, and I'm not going to have to carry it. And I, you know, those are things that the older I get, the more I like it. And there are some advantages to getting old. Not many, but there are some. And so, anyway, it was about this time last year.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, we figured that out a little while ago. I forgot exactly when it was. And did we have a men's breakfast last
time?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I thought we did. But it was great food. It wasn't curry. But this is really, really good tonight. I just want to take a little while. Johnny's already come to me and made sure I knew that he had other things to do tonight. And of course, what he has to do is really important. And so, you know, he got a commitment out of me that I would not talk a long time. And so, in fact, let me read something to you. One of the things that maybe it comes with age. You know, the older you get, the more you get, you know, you start looking at things a little differently than you do when you're younger. And I think in a way, as the older you get, the more you, unless you're really ill or whatever, the more you start appreciating life. And start appreciating all the things in your life. And I think of all the years that I have been incredibly busy, and all of the things that I missed because I was spending all of my time looking forward or looking back and not really enjoying the moment. And one of the things because I work with, you know, developing young leaders a lot, one of the things I tell them, and I'll say this often with pastors, enjoy the journey. You know, enjoy the journey. That learn to enjoy the moment, and focus on the moment. Not that you don't plan, or not that there's not wonderful memories from the past, but that we often get so caught up that we don't really enjoy this right now. And the reality is this is the only thing we have promised. We really don't have a promise for tomorrow, but we're here now. And learning to live to the fullest and enjoying each moment has become a very, very important thing to me. And I think part of that also comes, I think most of you are aware, I remember you prayed for us the first of the year. I had cancer surgery. And, you know, there's something about when somebody even uses that word, the word itself tends to strike fear into people. And there's the thought of what it actually could be, that it could possibly be a lot more serious than it is. And so I think it causes you to stop and realize again that life is incredibly precious. And that those that God puts around you that you have a relationship with are really extremely important, and that you really, really want to guard that moment. And just so most of you know already, of course, but let me, that day the cancer is completely gone, they got everything, and it didn't have to do radiation or chemo or any of that stuff. And all I do is blood tests every few months, and they've been coming back perfect, and so and I feel great. In fact, a month after the surgery, I was here in Europe, and doctor wasn't completely happy about that. But, you know, I mean, came here to doing doctor visits, and while he didn't know, he didn't hurt him too much. But, so I've been, you know, things have been great, and I'm full of life and energy, and so, you know, everything's great. But it really does cause you to start looking at some things. And one of the things is the whole issue of just being able to live in the moment and to enjoy the moment and to get the most out of. I can think back to, you know, a lot of times I think back now and realize, you know, there was so much more that I could have been in touch with at that time, but I was so busy somewhere else that I didn't enjoy the moment. And so what happens, of course, life is made up of moments. So, you know, if you miss this one, you're focusing on this one, you're likely to miss this one because you're focusing on it. And it just keeps going that way. And before you know it, it's going away, it's gone, and you don't realize what's happening. I often tell young parents, and this again comes from, you know, I suppose being a grandfather, young parents enjoy kids. You'll be amazed how quickly the time will go. And it's just like you close your eyes, and the next thing you know, they're you know, 10, and then they're 15, and they're 20, and they've gone away to college, they've got married, and you stop and you think, where did all that go? And all the things that I thought I would do with my kids, I mean, we didn't have enough time. And you stop around what you had all those years, you just didn't really take advantage of the time. And of course, I do realize we're busy, we've got a lot of things, so I'm not saying just, you know, we got to focus on one thing, but I really want to encourage you to live and to enjoy what God puts before you right now. And even if it's difficult, there are amazing things that you can learn right from that experience. I read this little essay. I don't even know exactly where I got it, but somebody gave it to me, 5 or 6 years ago. And I wanted just to take a minute and read it to you tonight and want to tie it into some things from Scripture that I want to talk about. It's called The Stations. And it's an essay written by a man named Robert Hastings. And this is it. Tucked away in our subconscious is an idyllic vision. We see ourselves on a long trip that spans the continent. We are traveling by train. Out of the windows, we drink in the passing scene of cars on nearby highways, of children waving at crossings, of cattle grazing on distant hillsides, of smoke pouring from power plants, of row upon row of corn and wheat, of flatlands and valleys, of mountains and rolling hillsides, of city skylines and village halls. But uppermost in our mind is the final destination. Bands will be playing, flags waving. Once we get there, our dreams will come true, and the pieces of our life will fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. How restlessly we pace the aisles, waiting, waiting, waiting for the station. When we reach the station, that will be it, we cry. When I'm 18, when I buy my new 450 SL Mercedes-Benz, when I put my last kid through college, when I paid off the mortgage, when I get a promotion, when I reach the age of retirement, I shall live happy ever after. Sooner or later, we must realize there is no station, no one place to arrive at once and for all. The true joy of life is the trip. The station is only a dream. It constantly outdistances us. Relish the moment is a good motto, especially when coupled with Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It isn't the burdens of today that drive men mad. It's the regrets over yesterday and the fear of tomorrow. Regret and fear are twin thieves that rob us of today. So stop pacing the aisles and counting the miles. Instead, climb more mountains, eat more ice cream, go barefoot more often, swim more rivers, watch more sunsets, laugh more, cry less. Life must be lived as we go along. The station will come soon enough. And I think there's a huge amount of truth in that. We live in an incredibly busy world. And all of us sitting in this room have so much going on in our lives that we were constantly consumed with something. But one of the things that I find, and I just dealing with me, dealing with lots of people, is this issue of the regrets of yesterday and the fear of tomorrow. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13. Where Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward the goal, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God called me, called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The whole forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I found an awful lot of people, they're so caught up in the regrets of yesterday, the emotional baggage of yesterday. Now I don't know, you know, the British may be very different than us Americans, but Americans, especially American men, we have an incredible ability to stuff everything down. Because we're not supposed to show it. We're supposed to be strong. We're not supposed to let it out. We just got to keep it and bury it. And I find an awful lot of people that just keep it all in, and they bury it, and they keep going, and they keep going. And then one incident, one situation after the other comes up, and never really dealt with. We just get past it. Most of us are kind of survivors by nature. And we survived a lot of things. And we've been through a lot of things, and we've made it. And there's a sense in which you can say, hallelujah, we made it through that. But the problem is, for many of us, is that we made it through, but we really kind of have never really dealt with the issue of what we face. We just kind of pushed it down, and we keep going. And I think human beings, men and women, do that. But I think maybe especially true of men. And because men really aren't supposed to feel much, so we don't, we push it down. But it still builds up all that stuff. And I find that we are carrying an awful lot of emotional baggage. And so when Paul says here, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead, what he's basically saying is, I have got to let go of that. The word forgetting from Greek really has to do with untying it and letting it go. See, if I don't untie it and let it go, it keeps clinging to my life. And it will, to some degree, hold me back. It will keep me from moving forward. And what Paul's saying is, I have dealt with that. He's not saying I'm just pretending it didn't happen. The word there has nothing to do with pretending something didn't take place, or just, you know, no, just forget it. No, it really has to do with dealing with something, untying it. See, to untie something takes some time. You've got to deal with it. You can't just pretend it away. And he's talking about untying it and letting it go. And he does that so he can put all of his energy into becoming all that God called him to be. So we read that and we think, you know, I want to become everything God wants me to be. I want to go for it. What is it that keeps me back? I think many times it's all this junk inside, all this baggage that's never been taken care of, and it emotionally holds us back, and we're not really able to invest everything in where God is sending us. One of the things, just a little statement that I don't even remember where I picked it up, but it was about forgiveness. Because see, a lot of this stuff back here, forgiveness is involved with it. You know, sometimes it's just forgiveness for ourselves. You know, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody teach on forgiving yourself. And I've had this question asked a lot recently, so it's kind of sparked something in me to develop something about that, because it's, for a lot of people, that's a huge issue. I can forgive you. I can forgive you for whatever you did to your phone. Disruption. I forgive you for it. But, you know, I can forgive you, but so much of the time we don't let go ourselves. We don't forgive ourselves. And that can be very difficult, and it locks in there. But this little statement is just simply this. Unforgiveness imprisons us in the past and destroys the possibility of change. Unforgiveness, whether that unforgiveness is towards someone else, whether that unforgiveness is towards yourself, or whether that unforgiveness is really towards God. Now, I know for some people, theologically, they say, how do you forgive God? I mean, that's implying that God did something wrong and God doesn't do anything wrong. And that's true, God doesn't do anything wrong. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you think God did. It means it's something that happened. It wounded you, and you held on to it. Whether, you know, and it's not a matter of saying God was wrong. It's a matter of I'm holding on to that thing that happened, and I'm holding it to some degree against God. I find a lot of us live there. And not being able to forgive God, not being able to forgive ourselves, not being able to forgive those around us, and that locks us in the past. And it destroys the possibility of change. All of us want to change. All of us want to move on. But if I don't let go of some of this stuff, I can never move on. When Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, when he talks about forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward, reaching forward, the word that's used there basically means everything in me is aimed at becoming all that God made me to be. Everything in me is aimed at going the direction God wants me to go, to get there, to get to the prize, to get to the goal. But see, if it didn't start with forgetting what lies behind, there would be no possibility of ever reaching out and becoming all that God calls you to be, because we live back here. I don't know most of you as far as really knowing your lives, but if you're like most people I know, there's a lot of regrets. I wish I didn't have missed. I wish I would have done that. God, I wish I would have never. How could I have been so stupid? And you may be facing something that is real, and maybe you were really stupid. But the point isn't that. The point is that if you live there and you don't ever deal with it, and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and releasing you from it, then there is this emotional baggage that you carry with you wherever you go. And you'll never be able to really move on because you're stuck back here fighting and holding on to this thing. And I think in this essay, when he talks about regret and fear being the twin things that keep us from enjoying the moment, I think some of us have such weight from yesterday that we can't possibly enjoy this moment. And then there are those who the struggle is the fear of tomorrow. And in today's world, you know, it's easy to look at where the economy is. What happens if it gets worse? What happens if? I've been through a few times where suddenly you begin to, you know, what happened? What would happen if my wife died? Well, I know those thoughts are, you know, they go through your mind and you think about, but the enemy also can use that for tremendous amounts of fear. And most of the time, it has to do with something that's not going to happen anyway. But we get locked there, and we paralyze because we're afraid of tomorrow. Interestingly enough, though, I think a lot of our fear of tomorrow is based on the regrets of yesterday, because things didn't happen back here the way we thought they should. Or we did something back here that was really dumb that we should have never done, then there comes the fear, are we going to be able to face the future? Are we going to be able to move on? I think one of the greatest struggles that men have, I think that women have it too, but men much more than women, is the fear of failure. And just, you know, the fear of failure can absolutely paralyze you. Because the fear of failure locks you up to the point that you're not likely to step out. You're not likely to try anything different. You get stuck in this mold because you know how to do this. But it's doing something new. What if I fail? And see, in most of our thinking, failure is fail. If you fail, it's over with. But why? And the reality is, you'll never do nothing if you're afraid to fail. Nothing will ever happen. I was reading something just recently about a company that one of the key things they require of their employees is that if they didn't take risks consistently, they would let them go. Because they wanted them to be moving on, and they knew that if you don't take risks, you're not going to move on. You're going to stay in the safe place. And maybe for some of us, because of the regrets of yesterday, we want to stay in the safe place, and we're afraid to move on to all that God has for us. You see, you get used to this. You know what this is all about. You know how to handle it. You know what to do with it. And it becomes a safe place for you. And most of us like that safe place. But that safe place can also be a place of death. Can also be a place of destruction. And so, you know, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, Paul says, I bring everything in me. Everything in me wants to move forward. I think that God has a dream for every one of our lives. I really do. I think he has a dream for each one of us. And that his dream is good. His dream is wonderful. You may have heard me tell this little story before, but there's a pastor in Los Angeles was pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian Church. And his name is Lloyd Ogilvie. And Lloyd is this man who I think sounds like God. I mean, he grew up in Scotland. And yet all his adult life has been in the U.S. And so he's got still enough of the Scottish brogue that his voice is it's amazing. I mean, it's deep, it's rich, and it's classic. It sounds like God should sound. In fact, when I get to heaven, if God doesn't sound like Lloyd Ogilvie, I don't think I'll recognize his voice. I mean, I know what God should sound like. If you don't know what God should sound like, let me give you a CD of his and you'll find out what God should sound like. I mean, it just, that's what he should sound like. Well, when Lloyd first became a pastor of Hollywood Press, the first Sunday morning, Hollywood Press is a very influential church. It's a large church, a lot of very well-known people in movies and television, all this go there, especially the time Lloyd became pastor. And he went to the back door, and all these people are passing by, greeting, meeting their new pastor, saying good things about their new pastor and all of that. Some of them he recognizes the minute he sees them, but he cannot remember what any of them said to him. Now, that seems strange to me. If somebody famous would come to me and say something good about me, I could never forget what they said. I may want to stick my cell phone up there and see if I can record it as they say it. And I'm certain that I would never wash my hand again. And so when he said that he couldn't remember what any of them said, I found that's hard to get a hold of. But there was one little elderly woman that when she came and shook his hand, she spoke these words: "Pastor, I pray that your life will be as wonderful as it was in God's mind when he created you." Only said it once and went on. But those words kept going over and over in his mind. "Pastor, I pray that your life will be as wonderful as it was in God's mind when he created you." Went back to the creation in the second service and came back door again, greeting all these people passing by. Doesn't remember what anybody said, but can't forget what that little elderly woman said. "I pray that your life will be as wonderful as it was in God's mind when he created you." Went back to his office and sat down, and he said, "God, what was that?" And he said it was as clear as anything he's ever heard. He heard God say, "I created you to be like my son Jesus." You see, I think that God has a dream for every one of our lives. And God's dream is good. I know that life isn't always wonderful. But the thing I love about Jesus is he is a redeemer. And when I bring the junk of my life to him, he will always redeem the junk of my life. And, but his dream is that his dream for us is far beyond what we can imagine. But with so many of us get stuck back here. And we lock up there. We live in the failure of yesterday. The things you've been through are part of your story. Don't deny them. Don't try to run away from them. They're part of where you've been. They're part of your story. But they're not all of your story. They're not the final part of your story. Don't allow those things that happened back there, the failures of yesterday, whether they're your failures or someone else's failures, don't allow your failure to define your life. I mean, so many people, that failure has defined them. Something happened back here, and that in their own minds, and sometimes even in the life of others around, that can be one of the problems in church life. We know each other, and we begin to see the strengths and the weaknesses, and when someone fails, we start defining them. Stop it. We lock people up there, and we lock ourselves up there. Don't allow the failures of the past to define you. Let Jesus define you. And his definition of you is so far beyond anything that you could ever imagine. But it begins with a willingness to let go. To let go of the regrets of yesterday. To let go of the failures of yesterday. And willingness to put everything in you in moving forward to all that God has for you. Does this make sense?
Yes.
I find so many people locked up in failure. I can remember hearing over and over again things like, probably mainly about older people, that they're always living in the past. And it's the good old days. And then even if they're good things, I don't get too concerned about that. What concerns me, though, is the people that lived in the failures of yesterday. And they never allowed Jesus to bring the healing that he wants to bring. And they just get stuck and locked there. And they not only do they not move forward, but they don't enjoy the moment that they live in. And I can't say it strongly enough. Enjoy the moment. Live in the present. Enjoy the journey. The journey is just as important as the destination. Our destination is taken care of. It's the journey that we often miss because we're focused back or forward. And I didn't want to take a long time tonight because Johnny said I couldn't. And I always listen to what Johnny said. Now let's just stop and pray, because I think for some of us, this is a key issue, that we're living in the regrets of yesterday. You know, and I don't mean things like, you know, I was in Orlando and I really regret that I didn't go to Disneyland. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about maybe things that you did, or maybe things that were done to you, or things that you should have done and didn't do, and you wish you had them. See, those things can lock in there, and we just keep playing them over and over again. And I just believe Jesus wants to set us free from the regrets of yesterday and of the fear of tomorrow. See, I know whose hands I'm in. I remember when the doctor first sat down with my wife and I and said that this in fact was cancer. And I had an aunt who was very close to me died of cancer. And so the minute those words were said, this fear just instantly. And I remember sitting there for just a short time, but I could, the fear was like, first it was, no, that can't possibly be. And then it's like, but that's just exactly what he said. And I could see how easily I could just lock there the fear of tomorrow was going to happen. But I also know that it was in the middle of that situation that I said, Lord, I can't live with fear. You're bigger. You're bigger than this. My life is in your hands. My life is in your hands. And I'm not going anywhere until you say it's time for me to go somewhere. And my life is in hand. I'm not going to live with the fear of this. Whether they get it all, whether I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live in the fear of tomorrow. And so I think those are twin things that rob us of the joy of today. And let's just stop and pray. Father, just in this very simple little setting tonight, I'm talking to men who, have great men. Maybe I don't know the details of their lives, but I know several of them enough to know that they deeply love you, and that your hand is on their lives. And Lord, I don't know where they've been, I don't know what their fears of tomorrow are, but I know that so many men that I know are locked up in the regrets of yesterday, locked up in the fear of tomorrow, the fear of failure being a key part of it. And Lord, I just really ask that in these moments that your Holy Spirit will just fill this room, and that you will go right to the heart of those regrets and those fears, and that you will begin to break through tonight so that we're able to walk in freedom to become everything that you have called us to be. Because Lord, I believe you have a dream for our lives that is far greater than anything we can imagine. And I don't want to live locked up in my own failures and never see the fulfillment of that dream. And so, Lord, I ask just in these moments that your Holy Spirit will do his work. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in each of our lives. I just want to take a minute and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you know what I think would be a good thing to do for just a few minutes is maybe three of you get together, and I'm not wanting you to dredge up stuff. That's not what I'm after. Some of you may know right away things that happened that you've never been able to get away from. Some of you, you may not be able to put your finger on it. So it isn't a matter of, well, let's stretch it up and down and let's try to figure out what it was. Don't do that. Some people go crazy trying to do that. But if there are things that that are deep regrets, that you know have been points in your life that became a point of lockup, or if there are fears, you know, maybe there's some that have real fears of what might happen to your family, or real fears as to what might happen, you know, to you, or real fears of the economy, are you going to make it? And let's just take a minute, like a group of three of us, and just share, and then pray together. And pray that, you know, pray that where there are those regrets. You don't have to lay it out with detail, and I did this, and that's not what I'm after. But you can just simply say, you know, this happened. And it's such a thing, lock up in my life. I regret it so much, I want to be free from that. Or you could say, you know, this fear is driving me crazy. I'm so afraid, I'm plagued by fear that this could happen. And then let the Holy Spirit do his work. Often I find that the fears come from past experiences that have never been really closed. And so they create fear of tomorrow. And so let's just join together, like about three of us in the group, and let's take a little bit of time to share and pray together.